When's the last time that some of you just really, really laughed? I mean, really laugh. I'm not talking. No, I'm talking, you know, really laugh. Like a, let's just call it a really deep belly type laugh. When's it? I don't mean to be mean, but a few of you could use that. But it must have been a rough day. But I'm talking just really laugh. Would you like to do that? Would you like to? It does wonders. It just does wonders. You know what? About 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were in California, and angels showed up into our hotel room one night about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, at first, I didn't know it was angels. I just woke up feeling hands all over me. And at first, I thought it was dying. And then I realized I should have known better. And then I realized that there was angels there, and they had their hands all over me, tickling me. I'm not joking. I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. No, I'm not. I'm serious. They had their hands all over me. Them angels tickled me until I just couldn't stand no more. And then I got up out of the bed and went to the bathroom. They followed me in there. I came back out of the bathroom. I was going to get in the bed. They tickled me till I couldn't stand it. And then I wound up in the floor rolling, laughing. And that's when Dee Dee woke up and she looked at me. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I says, "I can't help it." I says, "There's angels in here, and they've got their hands all over me, and they're tickling me." And I says, "And they won't stop." So she went back to sleep. And eventually, it let up. They let up, and I climbed back up in the bed and went to sleep. The next night, nothing happened. But the following night, there they were again. And I'm not joking. I can't prove it, but I'm not even sure, but I'm pretty sure they brought reinforcements because I have not laughed that hard in my entire life. And for the next 3 to 4 days, I was just sore. I mean, I was sore as if I had had surgery or something. And so, you know, I just, you know, I love the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. The Bible tells us that. And there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than a sad-faced, hateful, mean-spirited, just miserable looking Christian. There's nothing worse than that. Of all people on the planet, we should be joyful. Now, I understand the concept between happiness, it being dependent on our circumstances and all that, and the joy of the Lord is different. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible doesn't say happiness is, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's a big world of difference. But we of all people should be ecstatic. We should, because. Well, all right, let's try this one on for size. Are all of our sins have been forgiven? Past, present, and all my future sins have all been forgiven. I can see you're thrilled with that. All right, let's try this one. We've been put back in right standing with God. God's not mad at us. He's not angry with us. He doesn't have a lightning bolt with our name on it. He's, God actually is in a good mood. He likes us. He loves us. That's something to be joyful about. Another reason to be joyful is, if you know him and your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, any day now, any day now, we could be out of here. I know there's this huge debate. I don't know if it's going, if it's over here, but in the States, there's this huge debate about the rapture. Is it real? No, the sinners aren't talking about it. It's the Christians who are arguing. Is it real? Is it not? Have we just been wasting a bunch of time waiting and hoping for an event like that to take place? I'm putting my money on there is one, because I don't know that there isn't. And if there is, I want to be sure. I mean, if there's a possibility, and then we get all wadded up. Everybody just gets their knickers in a knot because it's the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Who cares? Who cares? Just if there is one, let's live like it, like there is one. Let's live like it could be any day. I like to talk about the rapture because it's about going to heaven. I like to talk about heaven because it's home. It's where I came from. I was there before I was here. It's where I'm going back to. I love to talk about heaven. That's where I'm going to live for eternity. I'm only 54 down here. I'll live forever and in eternity. God spoke to me a while back and he says, well, he's talked to me since, but back then he said this to me. He says, do you realize that a trillion, a billion years from now, when everyone is finally home, no one will have seen all of heaven? Because of my kingdom, there is no end. That is exciting. That's exciting. That ought to make you joyful. Don't sit there and act like you walk on streets of gold. None of us have ever walked on streets of gold, but we're going to. I mean, to have your doorknobs made of pure diamond. Eat all you want and never gain weight. No acid indigestion. No reflux. No sickness, no disease, no pain. No sorrow, no sadness, no parting, no saying goodbye to loved ones anymore. No standing by a loved one's bedside as they agonize and moan and groan in the pangs of death, watching them have every last breath of their being eked out of them. No more of that. No more days of going to the doctor's office as he or she gives you a death notice. No more trips to the dentist. No bad days, no ups and downs, ins and out, no moodery or tootery. Everything's just perfect. Just perfect. I like to talk about heaven. Do you? What about heaven thrills you? That's a no-brainer, but I mean other than Jesus. What about heaven thrills you? What about you? Just throw me out one. Everlasting life? I think when we get to heaven, though, we're going to be really, really torqued first when we see all that was possible on earth. And we decided to stay duped and deceived into believing it wasn't until we get to heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you haven't been to heaven, you need to go. You need to go. I've only been in a few parts of it. But I remember in 2001 standing in what was a warehouse of body parts and body organs. And it was the entire thing was like stainless steel. And you walk inside and it seems like the ceiling is just sky high, and there's just row after row after row of shelves, and there's the floor, the walls, the ceiling, everything was like the stainless steel stuff, and all the shelves were stockpiled and overladen with like hermetically sealed type bags of body parts and body organs. And I could see livers and kidneys, pancreases, arms and eyes, retinas, all sorts of things. And each bag had a label on it that said unclaimed. Which brings me to share with you, just about 4 or 5 weeks ago, Diane and I were flying home one night from California. We live in Spokane, Washington. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly and plainly, and he told me, he says, do you want to know what is the most talked about subject in heaven right now? I said, of course, I would love to know that. He said, the most talked about subject in heaven right now is the invasion of earth. And I says, tell me more. And God began to really give me downloads and insight and revelation. And the Lord began to explain to me and share with me how that, you know, again, he says the most talked about subject in heaven is the invasion of earth. He says the earth has never yet, it has never yet had a release of my spirit that will compare to what I'm about ready to release on the earth. Then the Lord said to me, even as I speak to you, legions of angels are being prepared and they're being trained on how to empty out all my warehouses, body parts and body organs. And I've never had a word like that from God other than when in 2001 when I was home praying and I realized I was somewhere else. Don't ask. And I don't know how I got there, and I know it sounds weird, but I have surrendered. I have completely surrendered to trying to be and appear to people like you who have never met me as normal. I'm not, and there's nothing I can do about that. I've had encounters, I've had experiences that I cannot explain. I just don't even try to anymore. I just put it out there, and I get all the looks, the eyebrows raised, and you know, not long ago I was in a meeting where I was sharing some things that were pretty bizarre, and I could see a couple of people sitting in the back going like, you know, like that, you know, to each other. I know they were talking about me, and so, you know, I know it sounds strange, I know it does, but to know that. My goodness, that God has warehouses of body parts and organs that he's preparing legions of angels to empty those things out and bring them. Because angels are real. We're not to worship them, but they are very, very real. They are ministering spirits sent to us by God. There are angels that are on assignment for your life. They are. And you and I have every right to speak to our angels and to they're there for us. They're there for us. So there's many a times when I know of a loved one or a very close friend that needs encouragement, for example, I'll speak to the angels in prayer, and I'll say, I don't pray to them, I pray to God. But I'll say, God, I know you've given me angels. I know you've appointed them to me. They're ministering servants, ministering spirits sent to me from you. So I just send an angel of encouragement to so-and-so. And I'd like for them to go right now. I just dispatch them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I say, and the beauty of it is you don't need to give them addresses or anything because they know all of that already. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it awesome? So God said to me, the most talked about subject in heaven right now is the invasion of earth. Earth has never seen. And I said, Lord, I read in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Well, in Acts chapter 1, the promise of Holy Spirit is made. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, proof, evidence that the Holy Spirit came. You all know that story in the Bible. They were all together in an upper room. Technically speaking, historically, there were 500 people invited to that party. But they all got tarried. Many of them got tired of tarrying or waiting on the Lord. And so they, you know, the bulk of them split the scene and they went back out to do whatever. And there were 120 left remaining. And that's the 120 that received a tongue of fire on their head, as it were, and they begin to speak in other tongues and in other languages. But they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were empowered. They were empowered by God from on high to do extraordinary, mind-blowing exploits for the King of glory, for the kingdom of God. And we've had so many moves of the Holy Spirit throughout time, from the book of Acts on the day of, from the original day of Pentecost, and let's bring it warp drive completely up to our time. 20 years ago, we were just talking about it in the car today, how it's hard to believe that 20 years has passed already since the initial outpouring of the Father in the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. Many of you have probably been there to that. And then we had the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. Many of you have probably been there to that one. And there's been many, many other visitations. Of course, we've got the all-historical Azusa Street Revival. And there's been so many times in history that there's been epic moves of Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed me, and he shared this with me, he says, you take all epic moves of my Spirit and combine them into one that will not come close to comparing about what's about to be released on the earth. And I says, God, what is this called? He says, many will try to put a label on it, but they'll not be able to. Many will call it the Great Awakening. Many will say it's the Last Days Revival. Many will call it the Great Gathering of the Harvest. And God says, but I'm telling you now, he says, it's ready. It's ready. It's ready. It is nigh upon the earth. And he says, and I'm about to activate it and send it and release it. He says, you'll not be able to hold this move of God. You won't be able to. You know, when I was a little kid, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. And back in the day, we would have what they call the church is going to hold a revival. You know, a few nights meeting and a special speaker and all that. And they were great. They were exciting and all that. But the Lord told me, he says, you can no more hold revival than you can hold the wind. Real revival. So God is saying to us tonight that what I'm about to release on the earth is going to be so outlandish, so outrageous, so awesome, that it will not be comparable to any other move of my Spirit. That's pretty big. And I think you would all agree with me on that. That is very, very big. That is what I would call epic. Let's be honest. Our world right now needs an epic move of Holy Spirit. If this planet ever needed an epic move of Holy Spirit, a move of Holy Spirit that will completely cross the lines of all religion, all political scenes, all governments, oh come on, all denominations, all kinds of cultures, you name it, we need that kind of epic move of Holy Spirit right now. We really are desperately in need of one right now. In our country, back at home in the United States, oh my goodness, we need a sovereign move of God. We need God to release a move of Holy Spirit like He's never ever, like the United States has never seen. Just a week ago on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday, Diane and I were in Washington D.C. and we went to the Lincoln Memorial where friends were holding a Easter sunrise service at 5:30. By 6:30, there were thousands and thousands of people gathered at the Lincoln Memorial. And as the sun was coming up, and it was just so awesome. It was so awesome to hear a preacher who had the courage to stand right there in the heart of Washington, D.C., right there at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and proclaim that there is one true and living God that is bigger and better than Allah, than Muhammad, than Confucius, than Buddha. And he went right down the line and he just bellows his name out, Jesus. And it's just phenomenal when he gave an altar call and to see so many thousands of people for the first time respond to receiving Jesus as their Savior. And you couldn't have got up and walked away from where I'm sitting to where that TV, that camera is there. And there were people there holding up flyers and chanting and ranting, raping about they want you to try their God, and there were people there trying to push Muslim and Islam and Buddhist and you name it, they were pushing it and trying to propagate their version of the gospel. And I remember as we were walking to the car with some friends, I stumbled upon something because I went to take a picture that I really wanted to get the sun coming up over the Capitol building. And so I come across one of those folks that were promoting their false God and their false religion. And I looked at them and I says, it must be pretty unsettling, isn't it? And they says, I beg your pardon. I says, to know that your God's dead. And they says, I don't follow you. I says, nor do I you. I said, but it's got to be pretty unsettling for you to know that there's the only God, that we serve the only God who loved his followers enough to die for them instead of insisting that we die for him. It has to be unsettling to know that you can find the skeletal remains or the dust or the powder of a dead God. But you can go to the tomb where they laid Jesus and they can't find anything. And the reason is he resurrected from the dead. You know, then you get that, get away from me, get away from me, get away from me. You know, I had a mean streak for a second and I wanted to go, you know. But I didn't do it. But it's exciting to know that the day that we're living in, the most epic move of Holy Spirit is poised and ready to be released on the planet. I see it. I can hear it. I can feel it. At times I can smell it. It's real and it's on the way. It's closer than anyone can think of or imagine. Several years ago, one day, I was taking a shower. I've took one since. But while in the shower, I saw on the shower curtain, many of you have heard this, many of you tonight have not. But I saw on the shower curtain, if you've ever been familiar with that TV sitcom named Bonanza, okay, that dun 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 dun. Well, that whole ranch, as it were, is on, you know, it comes on the TV screen, and if you'll notice, it's got fire burning all around it, okay? Well, I was standing in the shower that day, and God won't let me get off of this, and I saw that Bonanza thing burning, but I saw the nation of Australia, and it was burning, whoa, it was burning with fire all the way around borders, all the way around the perimeter of the nation Australia. It was burning with fire like that Bonanza thing does on TV. And then suddenly the Lord gave me this word, and he told me, he says, you will visit that nation 10 times. He says, when you visit that nation for the 10th time, I'm going to release something epic. Well, next week will be our 10th visit to that nation, and I'm holding God at his word. But the good part still comes. Standing in the shower then, my Bonanza thing shifts, and it changes. And I see all of New Zealand, both the North and the South Island. And then over here appears again Australia, and it's burning with fire all around it. And I looked at your nation, and I did not see no fire burning around the perimeter of either the North or the South Island. And I said, God, what's going on here? What's the difference? And then suddenly, North and South Island both appear again on my shower curtain, and it's not got fire burning around the border. Your entire nation was as one huge flame of fire. And God spoke these words to me, and he says, in the middle of going to Australia for your tenth, for those 10 times, now God didn't tell me that I would, you know, I couldn't go no more after 10, but he was just saying, go 10 times, and on the 10th time, so forth, so on. But the Lord gave me this. He says, in the middle of all that, I will start sending you to New Zealand. And God gave me this word. I've got it journaled down. He says, ask of me for nations, and I will give you nations for your inheritance. I don't know why. I just did not ask God. And I love Australia. I love the people. But I didn't ask for that nation. I asked for this one. And I said, God, I want New Zealand. And the Lord says, New Zealand is not burning with fire, as you can see. New Zealand is fire. And there is a huge difference, which is why I'm here. I've come to remind all of you that you really don't have much of a choice in the matter, because this is your home. But you hear me right now tonight. God is about to do something with your nation that will be, I believe, a prototype of stuff that he's going to be doing in nations all around the world. Your nation is not going to get a visitation of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not coming to visit New Zealand. He's coming to stay here. And I says, God, do you love them more? He says, nope. Nope, it's not that. But God says, I'm, and I have a plan, and I have a destiny, and I have a blueprint, and I have an architect. And God says, there have been intercessors in North and South Island, intercessors. He said, from as far back as you can remember, intercessors whose prayers have been coming up for me as a sweet-smelling savor. And God says, I will honor the prayers of my intercessors. He says, I'm not going to visit New Zealand. I'm going to dwell in New Zealand. I'm going to set up New Zealand as a home base, as it were, for this epic move of my spirit that will sweep around the globe. And I saw in the spirit, I saw on my shower curtain, I saw people coming in New Zealand, going out of New Zealand. I saw you launching new missionaries. I saw you launching musicianaries. There's something about praise and worship that's being birthed in your country, in your nation, that's going to exceed things that we've ever seen, heard, or imagined. I'm not saying this in a dishonorable or in a disrespectful way, but in a sense, I don't know how else to put it, but this way. It's like attention Hillsongs. You need to scoot over because there's something else on the horizon. And God has kept this in hiding. He has kept this in the background. You haven't heard this sound yet. And God's bringing it, and it's coming out of your nation. And He's putting it right there front. God's getting ready to do something of an epic level with your nation. You better believe, thank you, Lord. 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 Well, hey, I would love for God to say, I'm coming to the United States to dwell. If ever there's been a time that America needs a visitation of God, we need it right now. God's chosen your nation to dwell in. Do you get that? Your nation to dwell in. There's something about New Zealand that Holy Spirit finds attractive. There's something about New Zealand that Holy Spirit finds inviting. There's something about New Zealand that's drawing the attention and pulling on the heart of God. And the earthquakes in the South Island are just an example of the quaking and the shaking and the rolling and the rattling that are going on in the realm of God. The enemy does not want this coming to New Zealand. Why New Zealand? And I hear God saying, because I said so. Final answer, because I said so. There's something about your nation that's pulling on the heartstrings of glory right now. You have time right now to prepare yourselves for what will be one of the most epic sovereign moves and releases and outpourings of Holy Spirit that modern day has ever witnessed. And you are being called upon and being tagged by God to steward this thing and to host a sovereign move of Holy Spirit. Whoa. Whoo. As in the days and years that have gone by, where millions literally flew to Pensacola, Florida to attend the Brownsville Revival. Over 2.4 million people flew to that city at one time or another to experience revival. People from every continent flew to Pensacola, Florida, to experience revival. over 200,000 born again experiences out of that revival. In Toronto, Canada, the father's blessing, the outpouring of the father's heart, that millions flew to Toronto to experience God. I remember the denomination that we were credentialed with at that time. Toronto was forbidden to go to. The Pope of our denomination issued an edict: you are not to go to Toronto. It's not of God. It's not real. And we don't endorse it. And I don't blame them in one sense. Because yes, it is very uncomfortable when you go to church and you see people acting like they were acting at Toronto. Well, being the rule breaker we are, we went. And I went with an open mind. Because something deep on the inside of me, even though I was raised in church, even though I had a religious upbringing, even though I knew about God, but there was something on the deep insides of my innermost being that said, go. What if it is real? And I miss it. What if it is God? And I miss him. What if there is a real possibility that my life could really be changed from an encounter with the living God? Can I live with that? And finally, it was more than I could bear, and I'd rather have went than to obey the hierarchy of our denomination. And we went. And I remember Dee Dee went into the cafe as soon as we walked in there to get a coffee or something. She didn't go into the sanctuary. I did. When I walked into the sanctuary, you could not have went 1, 2 and got to the number 3. I immediately became bowed down on my knees. I could feel a weight on me, but it wasn't the feeling or the sensation of a heavy burden. I could just feel something weighty on me, and I couldn't stand up straight. And I thought, at first I thought, my gosh, is my back giving out on me or what? Then I felt completely ashamed and embarrassed because people were looking at me. I feel God right now. I crawled to my seat. I found a seat. I crawled to that seat. And I was afraid, but not in a fearful way. I was afraid of what I was sensing because it was foreign to me. And yet there was something inside of me that was going off, and I was thinking to myself, and I could hear myself's thoughts, and I remember thinking, what in the world is this sensation? Is this real? If it is, I like it, but I'm afraid of it. I don't know what to do, but I don't want to leave. But I want to stand up, but I can't stand up. So I crawled back to the door to the cafe. And when I got that door open, that lifted, and I was able to stand up straight. And I went to Dee Dee in the cafe, and I says, walk in there. Walk in there. Same presence of God hit her. We could feel it. That night, there was a man there speaking named Jack Taylor. I've never met that man, and I've only seen him once since then. And he was speaking and preaching that night, and at the end of the meeting, you know, they had people get in line, and if they wanted to receive prayer for anything or any kind of ministry, and I was right there in line. I'm like, come on, somebody help me right now. I got to the point, by the time that man was finished, what my denomination's rules were went out the window. I figured I've already ate the forbidden fruit of revival. There's no going back. I'm in and I love it. I'm not coming out. And we got in line that night, and when Jack Taylor comes up to me and I didn't know he was right there in front of me that quickly. And all of a sudden, he gets his hand and he just hits me in the stomach. And he says, just like this, "Kingdom man, when it's all said and done, you will walk, talk, live, eat, breathe, sleep, disperse, and dispense nothing but the kingdom of God. And you'll do it to the nations around the world." And I'm like, out on the floor I go. And I was fine until four people down, I heard a guy barking like a dog. And if you're familiar at all with the Toronto outpouring, those kinds of manifestations were commonplace on a regularly scheduled basis. And they were bizarre, and they were real, and they were weird, and I don't have no rhyme or reason for them. And then right when I adjusted to the barking of a dog, I started hearing, I'm like, oh my God. And then I laid there, and I said to God, oh my gosh, will I have to do that? And God says, do you want to? And I says, no, but I will if you want me to. Something had flipped inside of me because I had a taste of something that I knew religion hated. And when I walked out of that building that night, honest to goodness, I've never been the same. When we went to the Pensacola revival, to the Brownsville revival, we took our two kids with us. They were teenagers. They were being cool. And our son got so slammed by Holy Spirit, Diane and I watched men bodily have to pick our son up, scrape him up off the carpet, and carry his hind end to the car and put it in the car. We drove him back to the condo after we were staying on the beach there, and I had to get help to take him out of the car and lay him in the bed. And that young man laid in that bed all night long, and he just shook and trembled. Never been the same. Never been the same. Both of those moves of God, Brownsville and Toronto, have made such an impact in church culture, in the revival culture. They've made such an impact all around the world. And there are people's lives tonight that are so, so significantly different and changed and enhanced because of those sovereign moves of God. And yet, when I think about those, and I recollect, and I go down memory lane, and I remember, and I rehearse all the moments that I had in those meetings, to know that Papa is readying what I believe personally will be our final one of this age. Why because I don't know when it happened. I just know that it happened. The body of Christ went to bed one night, and when she woke up the next morning, she found herself in a brand new season. And the old season has passed away, and everything went with it. And you hear me tonight. Things in this world, including your precious New Zealand, are about to change. We're in the now of Holy Spirit. We're going to see the suddenlies of God on a level we've never witnessed before. We are in the season, my friends, where it's the darkest. It's going to be the most darkest of days and the most brilliant of days. Simultaneously, they're going to be happening at the same time. How will it affect you? Will totally depend on your walk with Jesus. We're in a season now where you will have to take everything a preacher or teacher tells you and run it against the word of the living God. Why? Because such deception is now being released around the globe that if it were possible, even the elect of God will be deceived in the days ahead. You cannot be moved just by the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the manifestations, because I have discovered the devil has a copycat for most of everything God has. And if you don't know the real, you'll be duped into believing a fake and a fraud and a phony. And you don't have time for that. We're in a season now where playtime has ended. And this is it. No more dress rehearsals. This is it. This is the season that Grandma talked about. This is the season that Great-Grandpa talked about. The great cloud of witnesses are assembled in heaven. They're watching. Many of you here tonight have been through some very distressing things. You've had difficulties. You've had perplexities. You've had hardships. Many of you have prayed and you've travailed before God, and seemingly God hasn't responded. And your heart grew weary. And you began to grow weary and you began to faint. And there's been times giving up would have looked better than ever. But I've come to tell you, don't do that. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare to you tonight, your best days are staring at you. I declare to you tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, for the body of Christ, her best days are staring her in the face. This is not about a church. And this is not about scheduled meetings with speakers who have become legends in their own mind and presidents of their own fan clubs. This is not about that. This is not about that. It's not about that. This is about keeping it real. This is about encountering God on a level, in a way that you never thought possible. Don't you dare throw in the towel now. Don't you dare stop believing God for what He's about to do in New Zealand. God is picking your nation up. He's picking your nation up. And he's bringing beloved New Zealand close to his lips. And he's about to kiss your beloved New Zealand and release on it a new breath of God. This is not about a series of meetings. This is about Holy Spirit habitating so powerfully within your borders that no matter where one travels, in North and or South Island, there will be no escaping the tangible presence of Jehovah. This is about people from nations around the world, continents from around the world, flying in to New Zealand to experience God. People that are right now tonight sleeping in their beds, sitting in their chairs watching the nightly news in various parts of the world, people in other places, in other nations, don't even realize that in the not too distant future, their lives will be interrupted by God and they will be rerouted. And they'll be moving to New Zealand to help and assist the sovereign move of Holy Spirit. Whew. Jim, you're on drugs. No, I'm not. Huh. I used to be. This isn't dope. This is not marijuana talking. Oh. God help me. I just see things. I see things. I see things. And I hear things. And I know I'm not going crazy. I know I'm not. I know, well, hey, I know I'm not. I know I'm not. I know I'm not. I know. I know. I know. Well, because when you get an encounter with God, you better be careful. Well, hey, you better be careful. Well, hey, you better be careful because, well, hey, when you get an encounter with God, you better know. Well, hey, you better know when you get an encounter, hey, swoosh, with God, you better know what you're asking for. Because I know. Well, hey, I know. I know. Well, hey, I know what I'm talking about. You get an encounter with God, God will. He will. Oh, I'm not talking about a blessing. No, this is not a blessing move coming. No, this is not about a blessing. No, I'm well, hey. No. No. Don't know. Don't you think that Holy Spirit's coming to New Zealand quietly? No. He didn't come on the day of Pentecost quietly. He has nothing to hide. Whoa. Holy Spirit has no reason to tiptoe. He's not hiding from no one. He's not coming to New Zealand quietly. He's not coming as an Anglican. He's not coming as an Episcopalian. He's not coming as a Presbyterian. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming as a mighty force from heaven. And when he arrives, well, hey, he will. Well, hey, he will. When he arrives, well, hey, he will mess everything up. It's going to be a living nightmare for religious people. It's going to be a religious nightmare for analytical, mind-worshipping people who tried to figure him out with their brain. It's going to be a hard time for people who want to maintain their dignity. Oh, you've got to be proper. You've got to be proper. You've got to be proper. You've got to be dignified. You've got to be dignified. You've got to be dignified. You've got to be proper. You've got to be religious. Well, we've done all of that. And where has it gotten all of us? Where has it gotten us? The hospitals are still overcrowded. Prisons and jails need to build bigger wings. Travel lightly in the days ahead. Travel lightly. Travel lightly. Travel lightly. I hear God saying, you don't need nearly as much as you think you do. Travel lightly. And be prepared. Well, hey, be prepared. Because many of you in the room tonight, well, hey, many of you in the room tonight have kingdom stuff that you have ignored. Many of you in the room tonight have kingdom giftings, kingdom ability, kingdom talent. Many of you tonight have kingdom stuff inside you that you're ignorant of, that you have ignored. And I hear Papa saying, you have no right to take the stuff of the kingdom to your grave. So in this epic move of Holy Spirit, you better hang on, because God is going to extract from your life all of the God potential, all of the giftings, all of the God ability, all of the God talent that he put in you. And you're going to find yourself doing things you've never done before. Many of you are going to find yourself writing songs. Many of you are going to find yourself writing music. Some of you that have never been behind a microphone are going to find yourselves leading worship. Many of you are going to be preaching and proclaiming. Many of you are going to be missionaries, musicianaries. Many of you, whoa, hey! In this visitation, nothing's going to happen. In this invasion, everything is going to happen. Invasion. And the war of the world will ensue. And thus, once again, we get to see modern day Mount Carmel moments. Showdowns of the gods. Martyrdom will be coming. Persecution will not only be coming with the Jews, it'll be coming worldwide to the Christians. I told you this is not your traditional revival. Shadow healing is coming back. Where people will be so filled with Holy Spirit, there'll be nowhere else in them for Holy Spirit to dwell. So He settles for their shadows. Someone's in the room, perhaps, maybe it's you. 4 o'clock a.m., Holy Spirit wakes you up and says, get up, get your shower, get ready. When I tell you to get in the car and go to the hospital and find out where they've got the cancer patients, you're not to visit no one, you're not to talk. You're going to preach the world's best message and you're never going to open your mouth or use words. I'm going to have you walk in every room and get close enough to the patients so your shadow comes on them. And then keep moving. When you're done, go home. Click on the TV and watch. Jim, you have an overworked imagination. Pastors, make your plans big. Ask God for the big things. It's time to ask God and press in and believe Him for the big things. When it comes, you won't have time then. Now's the time to make preparation for the onslaught of souls that you've only dreamed about. Last but not least, randomly you'll hear of reports around the world of Ananias and Sapphira moments. And the fear of God will once again be throughout the land. Why all this, Jim? Because simple. God saved the best for the last. And He will not be outgunned, outmanned, outwitted, or outmaneuvered by no devil or no demon. It's still His world. Whoa. I wrote something down I want to read you real quickly. A new made people colliding with and striking forcefully the kingdom of darkness. These are those who've chosen effectiveness over popularity. These are the manifest sons and daughters of God, and the time for their great reveal is now. This remnant has been hidden in Christ. They love not their own life, and they have no fear of death. These are those who carry the presence of Jesus and release his glory throughout the world. A trail of unending exploits, from the opening of blind eyes to raising the dead, from the emptying of cancer wards to the infiltration of cultures, lies in their path. If you're not afraid of them, you should be. This band of religious misfits are playing no games. They're intent on fulfilling their destinies and completing their assignments. That's as far as I got. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I just want to wait on the Holy Spirit for a moment. I don't want to get ahead of him. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Some time ago, we were in a meeting in our conference and training center in Spokane at the Healing Rooms. And during the worship, I saw an angel that had to be, I don't know how tall, well beyond 7 feet tall. And he was carrying a golden bowl. And it was filled with blue, flickering flames of fire. And I watched him walk throughout that group of people. And he would get right in their faces. He would get right in their faces, like he would carry his bowl and he would go, he would watch, and he didn't do it to everyone. He would keep going, and all of a sudden he'd come across one, and he would reach into the bowl and take out a blue flame of fire and lay it on their head. And I watched him, and it occurred to me, oh my gosh, he's searching for true worshipers. And he had the ability to tell who was worshiping from this and from this. Those who worshiped from this got a blue flame.